See you. Good to be with you again, be able to worship God in spirit and truth. Appreciate your presence, and hope it's been a blessing for you so far. Let's keep in mind we're making preparations for a gospel meeting in a couple of weeks, so let's look forward to that and start making plans. And you and I are just as important to the preacher in having a successful gospel meeting, and so let's put forth those efforts to maybe show up a few minutes earlier than we normally do. If it's me doing the preaching, show up your regular time. But if if you're having a guest speaker and maybe some visitors, maybe put forth a little bit of effort to show up early, maybe move forward a couple rows, let visitors sit behind you. I was holding a meeting in the Austin area years ago, and a great congregation, and I had a great Sunday morning service, and had this huge potluck afterwards, and I didn't get back to the hotel room until about, I don't know, 2:30 or 3 about. And I was laying there on the bed looking through my notes for that evening, and a knock on the door, and I got up, and the preacher was standing. He said, "You ready?" I said, "What?" He said, "Well, our service starts in," and I did not look at the time, and their services start at 5 o'clock rather than 6 o'clock, and so there. So some people, I made it, though. I got there. So, but we're going to have a good gospel meeting. I know he'll do a good job. He has prepared himself. He has a series of lessons that are very good. And we should do the same thing. And if we have that opportunity to sing out and show enthusiasm and certainly support a younger preacher who does a good job. So let's look forward to that. Second Peter. Peter divides his letter, second letter, maybe in just sort of two parts. And he's very much concerned about the effect of living the life of a Christian and growing in that faith, and the effects of the things we have to face. You all know back in the first chapter where he tells us to add unto our faith what? Add unto our faith virtue, knowledge, and temperance, and patience, and godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Do those things. And he goes on to talk about that. If you do these things, you shall never stumble. That we can indeed make our election sure. And so it's important. And he's getting that point across to us. And then he comes to the second chapter. And he just sort of turns the leaf or the page, so to speak, and starts talking the other direction. He says in the latter part of the first chapter, we're following certainly prophecies that have been fulfilled. But then in the second chapter, verse 1, he says, but there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And he begins this chapter and into the next chapter, warning about the effects of false teaching and the effects of not growing as God would have us to grow. And ends the letter, as you see down at verse 18, of the last verse says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's what he wants of us. But his concern was this idea of making it a definite image in our mind of what we are about and what we're supposed to be doing. And that's why I just would pick out one verse, verse 15 of the second chapter, where he makes this statement. He's talking about some, and he says, they have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. My thought was that as I was reading that, they have forsaken the right way. There is a right way and a wrong way. And as we serve the Lord, we recognize that's what he represents, that which is right, and that's what Peter is concerned about. Peter would earlier in his life, in Acts the 8th chapter, when he meets up with Simon, who wanted to buy the ability to confer miraculous gifts, and Peter says, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. We need to be people that are right. And we need to think about it, have it as a conscious thought in our mind. Paul would even say in Ephesians 6 and verse 1, as he's talking about many of the points, he would say, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Even instructions to the young people. Be concerned about what is right. And when we talk about this verse, those who have forsaken the right way, he's talking about if you have forsaken the right way, you've been there. And for some reason, you have decided to no longer walk in the paths of righteousness. Life is full of choices. We've got to make choices every day. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, look with me over there, he makes this statement in verse 13 and 14. You might be able to even quote it. Matthew 7, verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Jesus said, enter the narrow gate. And we're going to have to decide that on our own. That's something we do. He's pleading with us. He is instructing us. He wants us to take that opportunity. But you get right down to it. We're going to have to be the ones to do it. So I want to talk about just a little while this morning about choosing the right way. And just understand some things about that, because it's one of the most basic things about our life, the idea of walking in the paths of righteousness. And first of all, is we should know and always remember that we must choose. God's not going to choose for us. We're going to have to stand in the paths of righteousness. We're going to have to be the people who would do that. Back all the way into Genesis, the 2nd chapter. And you read down in verse 15, it says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. There's all kinds of discussions about why God put that tree there. And probably the most basic one was, we have to make a decision where we're going to stand, what we're going to do, how we conduct ourselves, what direction our life is going to go in. One writer I thought made such a great point. He says, it is only in our decisions that we are important. There are a lot of other things that happen in our life, but what we decide is going to determine the paths of our life. And it's always been that way. We were created in the very image of God back in the 1st chapter of Genesis. And we were created in the image of God. As you go back and read in the previous chapter, verses 27, 28, we were created in His image to have dominion, to rule, to be the representative of God, to be like God, to rule the things of this life. Matter of fact, if you look over in Psalms, the 8th chapter. You remember that great chapter David's talking about when he says, when I consider the heavens and the works of your finger, what is man that you're mindful of him? And down in verse 6 of that chapter, Psalms 8 and verse 6, you have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. That's what we're supposed to do. He says, I want you to do that. And then also, the idea to have dominion over as a representative, as a reflection of God, being created in His image, certainly that rule and dominion will involve morality, the right and the wrong. That would later be said, for example, and reemphasized in Joshua 24. Joshua would tell them, choose ye this day who you will serve. We're going to have to choose. Young people especially need to understand that we will have to choose where we're going to be and what we're going to do. We choose how we act. We choose. We make choices every day and may not realize the number of choices. We have a decision to make, how I'm going to feel, what my attitude is going to be. I am in the image of God. I am to have the dominion of the Lord, and I am to conduct myself in such a way. I can't choose for someone else, and you can't choose for me. We're that individual. You remember Jesus, when he appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus, or Saul, he said, go into that city and it will be told thee what thou must do. And just to have the attitude, well, I'm not going to choose. I'm just going to sort of enjoy life. Well, that's a choice. God gave from the very beginning this responsibility. He says, do not partake of this tree. You, and the day you do, you shall surely die. And the development of the rest of the Bible is that idea. God pleading with people. And secondly, we continue with the idea is that we should know to choose the wisdom, the wisdom of God. There are so many wisdoms in the world. I mean, it's astounding. The idea you could put a machine on the planet Mars and it's still running around up there. It's always fascinated me when, you know, a lot of me included have trouble driving around the loop. And that is quite a challenge sometimes because of what's going on around you. But the wisdom of some people, the wisdom and the skill of people in so many areas is tremendous. But the wisdom that we are to choose is the wisdom of God, understanding that we're to be in the presence of God. Go back with me to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Again, we were talking there in the first, and just a few moments ago, where he made this statement that you're going to have to choose the narrow gate or the broad gate. You're going to have to choose the narrow path or the broad path. And I can't choose for you. He goes further down in the chapter. Look at verse 24, Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, whoever, that's you and me and everybody else, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who builds his house upon the rock. Or later on, as he says, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. The difference between the fool and the wise man is not that one heard and the other one did not. Both of them heard. The difference between them was that they acted upon or did not act upon what Jesus was telling them to do. And this involves reflection. It involves reasoning. To make a response to what Jesus has been saying and revealing to us. Psalms 111, David said, the fear of the Lord at the beginning of wisdom, a good understanding have all those who do his commandments. A person who follows the commandments of the Lord has a good understanding of life. May not be able to put a rocket on the moon, but you have a good understanding of life as far as the Lord would say it. And the opposite of that is, if you read back in Proverbs, the first chapter, Proverbs, the first chapter, he's talking about wisdom and how some people would choose not to follow the Lord. Verse 28, Proverbs 1, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Verse 29, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. And this seems to be the history of the people of God as you go through history. I mean, itself, and especially Jewish people. Look in Isaiah, the first chapter. Isaiah, the first chapter, the people of Israel were, and this is a time in which they were wealthy, in which they were doing good as kind of we are in our society today, but they were encouraged to come to God, verse 18, and he said, let's reason together. Come now, verse 18, come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow, and though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. They were having some difficult problems. They were not listening to the Lord, and as he was reasoning with them here, he was trying to get them to see their life is not what he wants them to be. They were disobedient at this time. If you look back, if you're there with me in Isaiah, the first chapter, look at the way they are described. We'll just go look at verse 2. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's crib, but Israel does not know. My people do not consider. Look at verse 4. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. Excuse me. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backwards. I mean, he just continues on with this whole chapter, pleading with them. And he even talks about, as I just read that later on in the chapters, you read down at verse 18, he's talking about their sins and indiscretions being as scarlet. They're that glaringly red. But he said, if you'll come to me, he said, you'll be white as snow. Look at verse 19. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. He was pleading with them, and it was them to come, let us reason together. Let them understand what God's will is, and let them appreciate what God would have them to be and what he would have them to do. Let me suggest to you, thirdly, this idea, not only that we've got to make a choice and we're responsible for it and that we've got to choose the wisdom, but also, let's go back to verse Matthew 7:13 again. Recognize this choice is a demand for narrowness. Back in Matthew, the 7th chapter again. It's amazing how, I guess, appropriate or up to date this teaching is. When you read Matthew 7 and verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Now, the narrow way, as developed in the New Testament, is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way. There is none other name given among man, given under heaven, by which we must be saved. We dare not choose to follow anyone except our Lord. We dare not choose someone as powerful and influential as Moses. Moses was a great leader, a great deliverer, but Christ is greater than him. In Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, we read in verse 7, there's this statement made, do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. How important is that? Look at verse 35 of the same chapter. The wise shall inherit glory. The same shall be the legacy of, but the shame shall be the legacy of fools. Choose to be people of wisdom. Choose to the very wisdom of God. Choose the gospel of Christ. It is the only way that we can be acceptable to the Lord. That was the point he was trying to get us to see in Romans 1:16. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation. It's the one way that will bring us to the Lord. It is the drawing power, the suffering Savior. That is the eternal Son of God coming into this world and going to the cross. Choose the gospel of Christ. And that's really the point that we would ask of anyone, just to consider that. Choose the New Testament church. The church is a specific organization, as we read in the New Testament. They had a particular organization, had a particular work, had a particular worship, as you read through there. And you continue to see that is what God had ordained for that church. Ordained means set in place. Furniture in your living room is ordained if you put it there. That's to set it in place. That's what you wanted. It's the way you designed it. And this is what God has done, as we revealed in the New Testament. When we talk about choosing the gospel and choosing the church, choosing in our daily lives, choosing the values of the New Testament or the Bible to describe us, choosing family values. God's way promotes marriage and home and promise and hope. And so many things of people today do not promise those, and it brings such a terrible blight as we serve the Lord. We look at our society around us, and it's tremendous what has happened. It's so sad that you see so many peoples and so many lives are wrecked. When you look down at John, the 1st chapter, look with me there. John, the 1st chapter, you read in verse 10, he makes this statement, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. And just think of that, how they could miss completely the coming of the Son of God. Verse 11, he came to his own and his own did not receive him. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. He came into his own received him not. They couldn't recognize the Son of God when he had come. When we make this statement, Jesus is that source of salvation. The gospel, the preaching of it, is the thing that gives us the hope in the world and to be blessed by coming to him, choosing the right way and living that way. Not kidding ourselves that the ways of the world are ways that many times are ways of wisdom, but not the wisdom of God. This is the revelation of the Lord, that Lord Jesus Christ is our salvation. You're here this morning, you're not a member of the body of Christ. Sorry for my throat. If you're here and you're not a child of God, you need to take advantage. And I would point anybody to the salvation of the Lord we find in the gospel of Christ. That's the one that we need to face. Jesus said, I am the way, and no one else would come unto me. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. That's the only hope that we can have. And as a result, we must obey that gospel. If we're baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. There's one here this morning who's not a child of God. We encourage you to have the faith strong enough to obey the gospel of Christ. And if there's a child of God, maybe a Christian haven't lived as you should. Maybe you've been making the wrong decisions, been going in the wrong direction. You need to make things right. Come back and start walking in the light as he is in the light. If you're subject to heaven's call, would you please come for stand and sing?